The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Tropp, and I'm your host, Katie Tropp. Well, he finally did it. Aaron Judge finally hit home run number 62 last night, and it was a great moment for baseball. He hit it against the Texas Rangers, which I was kind of upset I couldn't have been there since, you know, Dallas is only a couple hours away from me. But, you know, work, don't really have the money for that kind of thing because I would have had to attend at least all of the games because you never know when he's going to hit it. But it was funny because they had a doubleheader yesterday. And I work from home, so I tend to have the TV on while I'm working. And so since baseball was on yesterday, and of course I went to see Aaron Judge hit number 62, the Rangers game was started at like 1. So I had it on, and every time he came up, it was just like tense, and he struck out a couple of times, and it just was so frustrating. And it was hilarious, too, because in the ninth inning of the first game of the doubleheader, Aaron Judge was the fourth batter up to bat, and the first two batters were struck out, and then Kyle Higashioka comes up, and everybody wants him to get on base, including Texas Rangers fans. It's just hilarious that Texas Rangers fans were actually like cheering for this guy to get on base because they want Aaron Judge to come up. So luckily Higashioka gets on base, and everybody's cheering, which is just hilarious because once again we are in Dallas. Actually, Arlington, Texas, where the Rangers play. So it should not be like that, especially for the Yankees. Then Aaron Judge came up to bat and he hit it and he was out. So unfortunately, it didn't happen in game one. But game two, he's first up to bat. We're all just sitting here. Can you please just hit this home run? And you could tell homeboy wanted to get this home run done and over with because he was taking some crank and yank swings and striking out like he doesn't normally do, just because you could tell he really wanted to get it. Well, he walks up to bat, second pitch, boom, right as it goes off the bat. You just could tell it was gone. The entire crowd was electric. A fan trying to catch the ball fell over the railing into the bullpen. They are okay, but it was hilarious that happened. And then just to see Aaron Judge and his entire teammates. I mean, really, shout out to the Texas Ranger fans because one thing I do love about living here in Texas is that Texas fans, no matter what the sport is, we love sports down here. And, you know, the Texas Rangers, they haven't been a competitive team at all this year. So yesterday would not have been a sellout crowd. And there were a lot of Rangers fans. Of course, there were a lot of Yankees fans there, but there were a lot of Rangers fans there. And they all showed him a great amount of respect. They stood for him. They clapped for him. And it was really cool to just see that great moment for baseball. And it was a great moment for baseball because, you know, over the years, especially with the steroids and everything, we haven't really had a home run chase like this. And so this is like the first time it's a clean guy in a long ass time. And so really congratulations to Aaron Judge on hitting home run number 62. He got it out of the way and now he can just get back to playing baseball. I'm sure he's very happy to have that off of his mind right now. All right, and so let's get into football. So the Monday night football game ended up being an ass-kicking by the San Francisco 49ers. They killed the Los Angeles Rams 24-9. It wasn't even competitive at all. San Francisco's defense just had Stafford running for his life all day. That offensive line of the Rams, I don't know how they're going to hold up against all the defenses they got to face because they got to face the Niners again. And the Niners got 7 sacks against them. And they also had an interception, ran back for a touchdown. And then they were able to just put together a really solid offensive few drives. Garoppolo had a solid game. He went 16 for 27 with 239 yards and a touchdown. And then, of course, the amazing Debo Samuel. He had an excellent game. He had this crazy catch where he just was breaking tackles and nobody could get this dude. It's just crazy how nobody can bring him down. He's such an excellent weapon for the 49ers. He had 115 yards and a touchdown. Another hilarious thing that actually happened during this game was yet another one of these stupid protesters. I'm sure they're from the same exact group of retards because he had a stupid little pink flare, which I've seen before from these idiots. I wish they would go back to gluing themselves to the ground because that was probably the best one of them all. But this one was just as hilarious. Dudes running around with a fucking pink flare, which, I mean, is just so perfect for this moment. And big old Bobby Wagner sticks his shoulder out and just trucks this motherfucker and takes him out, and security's able to take him out. Now, of course, today this loser pressed charges against Bobby Wagner. Hopefully those charges don't stick because he's the idiot who ran onto the field and he got exactly what he deserved. And it provided me some great entertainment because nothing's better than seeing a loser like that get taken out in a moment like that. So way to go, Bobby Wagner. And also, that probably did not feel too good because Bobby Wagner is a beast. He's led the league in tackles for like five straight years now. So he just got taken out by a beast, hilariously too. All right, so let's get into my top 10 NFL power rankings for the week. Starting with number one. Oh, God. It's like my baseball power rankings because now I have my least favorite football team ranked at number one this week, and I had to do it, not only because they're 4-0, but they're just playing great football, and it's really just difficult to deny them the number one spot, at least in my opinion. And I got the stupid-ass Philadelphia Eagles up at number one, the only undefeated team remaining in the league. Jalen Hurts just having a great season. He's thrown for 1,120 yards, four touchdowns, and he has four rushing touchdowns on the season, and he is just carrying this offense. So is their ground attack. I mean, the entire ground attack is just excellent, but defensively they are killing it too. This front seven ain't nothing to fuck with. They've forced six fumbles and five interceptions on the season. So right now the Eagles, they're rolling, and unfortunately I had to put them at number one this week. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 3-1, and Patrick Mahomes, he just continues to have just a stellar career, and he really now is the driving force of this offense, and so far he has had no issues at all. So far in the season, he's passed for 1,106 yards, 11 touchdowns, and only two interceptions, so he's really having a very efficient and spectacular season so far. At some point, it's possible it could cost them, you know, kind of towards the end of the season, relying on just him. But who knows? This team's been able to put it together. And until they start to suck, you really can't pick against the Kansas City Chiefs. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 3-1. They are coming off of a big win against the Ravens. They don't look as great defensively, but I think that's just really they're battling through a lot of injuries. But offensively, they really aren't having that many issues. Josh Allen's having a spectacular season so far. He's thrown for 1,227 yards, 10 touchdowns, and only three interceptions. And Stephon Diggs is having one hell of a year with 406 yards and four touchdowns. So the Bills, while they have that one loss against the Dolphins, they're still playing great, and I expect them to continue that on into the season. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 2-2. But they're just an overall good squad. I mean, defensively, they are killers. They've got four forced fumbles and four interceptions on the season, so they're really doing well. They're getting at the quarterback, pressuring the hell out of every quarterback. So they're just killing it defensively, and they're very efficient offensively. They're not blowing you out of the water, but you know they've got Debo Samuel, who's a great weapon to have. Jimmy Garoppolo, he isn't really making any major mistakes. Kyle Shanahan, he just knows how to call the plays and be an excellent coach. So I've got the 49ers at four this week. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, overall record of 2-2. I mean, really, I feel like their only issue so far has been injuries, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Tom Brady's having an excellent Tom Brady season. He's thrown for 1,058 yards, 6 touchdowns, and only 1 interception on the season. And the defense has really been holding it down. Their secondary is just shut down corner central. And while they've struggled these last two games, they're still a damn good team. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 3-1. Really, for me, you would think a 3-1 team wouldn't be behind some of these teams like the Niners and Bucks, but the Packers haven't really got it together yet. I still think they're a work in progress. While I still think they're a good team and they could definitely reach their potential, they still have work to do, especially on the offensive side of the ball. With the receivers, they got to stop with the mistakes, but there's going to be growing pains throughout the season. But defensively, they are really good, especially Devondre Campbell. This guy's just been all over the field and in on just about every play defensively for the Packers. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Miami Dolphins, overall record of 3-1. Offensively, they're looking spectacular. It's just their defense where I have a lot of questions. Also, I don't know if they're a consistently good team just yet. And now with the injury to Tua, they are lucky that they have Teddy Bridgewater as their backup quarterback because he's more than capable of taking over this job. But they might have some struggles down the road. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got my Dallas Cowboys on there. Overall record of 3-1, and they are playing great on defense. DeMarcus Lawrence is killing it. Micah Parsons is killing it. And Trayvon Diggs, he's getting back to sniping that ball from everybody. So I'm really liking what I've seen from the defense. And offensively, they're holding it down. They've got a really balanced attack. And I feel like once Dak gets back, they'll be a pretty solid team again, hopefully, if they don't blow it. But hey, so far, they're not doing bad. They're on a 3-game winning streak, and it's my top 10 power ranking, so I could put whoever I want in there. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 2-2. They are coming off of a difficult loss last week, but hey, they're still a damn good team. Lamar Jackson is just having an amazing season. He's passed for 893 yards, 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 316 rushing yards, and 2 rushing touchdowns. He is just the driving force behind this offense. The defense is having its issues during the second half of the game, so that hopefully that's not going to be a problem consistently throughout the season. But so far, it's happened in two games this season. So hopefully they can get it together, but this week they are number 9 on my top 10. Then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Minnesota Vikings, overall record of 3-1. They are offensively, I like what I see from them. You know, they still have some kinks to work out. Defensively, they're not bad either, but they're just that weird team. You never can put together what the Vikings are going to do. But right now, they're not looking bad, and 3-1 is not looking bad, so they round out my top 10 this week. Then we have Thursday night football this week is going to be the Indianapolis Colts at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite. Neither team has really gotten it together. You could tell they have a nucleus. You could tell they have the right players there. It's just they need to really get in the groove like Madonna. For me, I kind of feel like the Broncos, they look like they're there. They just need some work, and they just need to get together. They just need to work together better. And the Colts, Jonathan Taylor is not playing this week, and that's a huge part of their offense. And Matt Ryan, while he's putting up some pretty decent numbers, he's made some pretty bad mistakes as well. And this receiving core is questionable at best. So with the injury to Jonathan Taylor, I do like their defense, though. Indianapolis Colts defense is very good. But with that injury to Jonathan Taylor and him not playing this week, I think that's going to be a blowback for the Colts. And I think Denver's going to put it together this week, put together a solid game where they actually, I feel like, I feel like it's going to be a close game, but I kind of feel like they're going to dominate like the time of possession and really be the team in command for the majority of the game. And so I've got the Denver Broncos winning this one 24-14. And now moving on to college football and the AP Top 10 this week. So number one, still Alabama, 5-0. They just kicked the crap out of Arkansas, 49-26. And they've got Texas A&M this week. A&M is not having that great of a season, so I don't know how much of a fight they're going to put up against Alabama. Alabama's quarterback did get injured last week, but it doesn't sound like it's anything serious, at least from what I've seen. So I'm kind of expecting Alabama to get that win against A&M. Then at number two, we've got the Georgia Bulldogs. They're 5-0. They barely just got by Mizzou this week, 26-22. And then they've got Auburn coming up this week as well. So we'll see how that goes. Then at number three, you've got Ohio State, who are 5-0. And they just killed Rutgers 49-10. And they've got Michigan State this week. Honestly, I'm kind of shocked that they didn't put Ohio State above Georgia. Because, I mean, come on, Georgia barely got by Mizzou, and Ohio State's offense has really been something else. So I kind of would put them above Georgia right now. But then at number four, we've got Michigan, who are 5-0. They keep rolling. Michigan beat Iowa 27-14, and they've got Indiana this week. Then at number five, we've got Clemson, who are 5-0. They just beat NC State this week 30-20, and they've got Boston College on Saturday. Then at number six, we've got USC, who are also 5-0, and they just killed Arizona State this week, 42-25. Now, they've got Washington State this week, and that is one of those weird division opponents that sometimes just gets that random win. They are ranked 26th, so that's not really terrible, and I wouldn't be shocked if it ends up being a close game between them and USC. Then at number seven is Oklahoma State. They are 4-0. They played a really good, solid game against Baylor. They got the win 36-25. And then they've got Texas Tech coming up on Saturday. Then at number eight, the Tennessee Vols are 4-0. And they just snuck by Florida this week, 38-33. And they've got LSU. They are rolling into LSU this weekend, who are ranked 25th. So and they're not playing bad at all. So I really wouldn't put it past LSU to upset Tennessee this week, especially how they barely snuck by Florida last week. Then at number nine, you got Ole Miss, who are 5-0. They just beat Kentucky this week. Kentucky has been that dark horse team that nobody really expected. They came into this game undefeated, but Ole Miss got the better of them in a close one, 22-19, and Ole Miss has Vanderbilt this weekend. And then rounding out the AP top 10, is Penn State, who are 5-0. They just beat Northwestern this weekend, 17-7. They do have a bye week this week, but next week is the big game. Penn State at Michigan. So if Michigan is still undefeated, they're playing Indiana, so I expect them to still be undefeated. But if Michigan is still undefeated, that is going to be one hell of a game next Saturday. All right, and tonight is the final night of the regular season of baseball, and the wild card series start off on Friday. So I will be breaking down all the wild card matchups on Friday, but today I'm going to go ahead and give you a preview, predictions of who I think is going to win each and every round, leading all the way up to my World Series prediction. So let's go ahead and start with all the wild card matchups. Starting over in the American League, we've got the Tampa Bay Rays facing off against the Cleveland Guardians. All three of these games will be played in Cleveland. The Cleveland is just playing great baseball. They've been playing great baseball for the last 2-3 months right now. Their starting pitching is phenomenal, their defense is phenomenal, and they just know how to score runs when necessary. So I really like what I see from Cleveland. Tampa, on the other hand, while they're not a bad team, they've really been stumbling these last couple of weeks. And when you come stumbling into the playoffs, especially against a team like the Guardians, I don't think that's going to be a good thing for the Rays. And so I actually have the Cleveland Guardians sweeping the wild card round and getting this win in two games. And I have them moving on to the ALDS. Then the next wild card matchup is the Seattle Mariners versus the Toronto Blue Jays. I think this is going to be a very good matchup. Seattle is a weird team. They've played very well this season, but I don't know if I necessarily believe in them. The Blue Jays, they're also a weird team as well, but they've really put it together, especially these last couple of weeks. So I'm leaning towards Toronto in this one. I think it's going to go the distance. I think it's going to go three games. Once again, this is going to be, all three games will be in Toronto. But Seattle, I just, you know, this is their first time getting to, into the playoffs since 2001. So it would be nice to see them move on. But, you know, Seattle, I can't believe in them until they prove it. So I've got Toronto winning that series in three games and moving on to the ALDS. Then moving over to the National League side of the wild card bracket is the Philadelphia Phillies versus the St. Louis Cardinals. All three games will be played in St. Louis. The Phillies, they kind of came stumbling into the playoffs, whereas the Cardinals, they haven't played that well as of late, but I mean, they've been very solid all season, and they are a, once they hit the playoffs, they know how to win. It does not matter who their roster is. It does not matter who their manager is. They just know how to win. So I have St. Louis sweeping Philly in this one in two games and moving on to the NLDS. And then the final National League wildcard matchup is the San Diego Padres versus the New York Mets. All three games will be played in New York. I just think the Padres, not that good of a team. The Mets, a very good team, even though this last week or two has not been good for them. I think they'll get it together, and I think they sweep the Padres in two games and move on to the NLDS. So my ALDS matchups would be the Cleveland Guardians versus the New York Yankees. I think this will, and this series would be five games, and it would be three in New York, two in Cleveland. I just think the Yankees are the slightly better team than the Guardians. And so I've got the Yankees moving on in that bracket, and I would have them winning in four games in that matchup. Then my other ALDS matchup would be the Toronto Blue Jays versus the Houston Astros. And I just think the Houston Astros are going to be too much for just about any team they face right now. So I actually have the Astros sweeping the Blue Jays in that matchup. Then moving over to the NLDS matchups, I have the St. Louis Cardinals against the Atlanta Braves. In that matchup, I like Atlanta. I just think Atlanta really, their second half has been phenomenal. And especially this last month or two of baseball, you know, they took over the division lead, even though they really did not have the division lead for the majority of the season. They took it over at the last week of the season. And they've really put it together. Even with their injuries, they've been able to overcome all the injuries that are thrown their way. And St. Louis, I don't think they're good enough to beat the Braves in a five-game series. So I have Atlanta moving on in that series in four games. And then the final NLDS matchup I have is the New York Mets versus the LA Dodgers. The Mets, while I think they're a very, very strong team, and they definitely have the pitching to withstand it, they do have some injuries happening right now with their batting lineup, and that's killing them. Whereas the Dodgers, they have no issues right now. Now, I do think it will be a good series between the two teams, but I have the Dodgers moving on in that one in five games. So my ALCS would be the New York Yankees versus the Houston Astros. I just don't think the New York Yankees have the bullpen or the starting pitching to really keep up with the Astros. Offensively, they absolutely can keep up with them. But, you know, the Houston Astros have one of the best starting pitching lineups in the league. I mean, all of their starters could pitch a no-hitter, and none of us would be shocked. They're just all great. Whereas the Yankees, it's just, their bullpen is not good, and their starters sometimes are shaky. So I have the Astros winning the ALCS in six games. And my NLCS matchup would be the Atlanta Braves versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. I do think both teams match up great against each other. They both can score a lot of offense. They both have great pitching. They both have solid bullpens, and they're great defensively. They also have really good managers. Now, since I hate the Dodgers and I'm rooting for anybody but the Dodgers this postseason, just know that anybody but the Dodgers is my motto. Also, if you ask me who I'm like rooting for, it's the Yankees, just because they are like my secondary team in baseball. Because you know my Giants are not anywhere near this postseason. But I hate the Dodgers, so I'm leaning towards Atlanta in this one just because I hate the Dodgers, and I'll be rooting for Atlanta hard. So I got Atlanta winning the NLCS in 7 games. So my World Series is a rematch of last year's World Series, Houston Astros versus the Atlanta Braves. Since the beginning of the season, I did pick Atlanta to repeat. You know I'm picking them to win the World Series. Just because they're just on fire right now. I think they're a really damn good team, great pitching, and there's nothing wrong with the Astros, of course, but, you know, Dusty Baker has never been able to win the big one, so until he does, you can't really pick them, in my opinion. I mean, I always root for Dusty Baker because he used to manage the Giants, and he is a dude who's been in the league forever and has never won a World Series. That's his only accomplishment that he needs. So since he never wins, I'm picking Atlanta because, like I said, that was my pick at the beginning of the season. Rolling with that pick since they are playing great. And I have Atlanta as the World Series champs in 7 games over the Houston Astros. So that's how my postseason picture looks for now. Like I said, on Friday's show, I will get more in depth with each wild card matchup. And we will talk some more football. And there you go. Another great week of sports, especially with Aaron Judge finally hitting 62. So we'll see what happens with these baseball playoffs because they should get very interesting. So I will talk to you fools on Friday.